Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Spencer's Retail Q3 FY24 post-results earnings conference call hosted by Batlivala & Karani Securities India Private Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Akhil Parekh from Batlivala & Karani Securities India Private Limited. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you. On behalf of B&K Securities, I welcome you all to the Spencer Retail's maiden quarterly conference call of third quarter FY24. From the management team, we have with us Mr. Anuj Singh, CEO and MD, Mr. Saket Shah, Group Head, IR and ESG Reporting, Mr. Pankaj Kedia, Vice President, Investor Relations, Mr. Harshil Gathani, Chief Manager, and Mr. Sandeep Banka. Without taking much time, I'll hand over the call to Mr. Anuj Singh for his opening remarks, and post which we'll open the floor for Q&A session. Over to you, Mr. Anuj.
Thank you so much, and good morning, everyone. My name is Anuj, and I'm the MD and CEO of Spencer's. Very happy to talk to you today post our quarter three earnings release. I'll start by giving a brief personal introduction. So I joined the company in end March 2023, so it's been close to 10 months that I've been at the helm of the company. And I come in with experience both in the FMCG domain as well as in retail. I've had a long career in FMCG both in India and internationally. I worked with Unilever and Nestlé. And in retail, I was at Walmart India in their B2B business as their Chief Merchandising Officer for 3 years prior to joining Spencer's. So I'll start by giving a brief context of the business, and I won't take you back to 2 years, 3 years. I'll keep the context limited to when I started 10 months ago. So obviously, at that point of time, the organization was going through and is still in the midst of a pretty challenging situation, both external and internal. But as the new management, new leadership, we kind of took stock of where we were in, let's say, April 2023. What we quickly realized is that, look, we do have a right to win in the space which we are. And that's stemming from the fact that we have a strong legacy and a very high brand recall owing to the fact that we are probably not probably, we are the first and the pioneering modern trade retail format in India going back to over two decades. We also have a right to win because we have a unique and differentiated positioning and offering both on Spencer's as well as on the Nature's Basket side. And we were quite strong in certain focus geographies while we did not have a pan-India footprint. So clearly, the task was to build on some of our inherent, I would say, strengths or right to win and really turn around the organization both from a top line and a bottom line part of it. Some of you, we had interacted in September when we were talking about what actions we had taken in quarter one and quarter two. And we had clearly called out that, look, for us, H1, which is quarter one and quarter two, was in large senses recalibrating the business. As we said, this recalibrating of the business was looking at it very dispassionately from areas which were not adding value and were being dilutive to both either the top line or the bottom line, as well as looking at areas which were not making strategic sense. As a result of that, in Q2, we took some big strategic calls. We exited two states, Kerala and Tamil Nadu. We were of the opinion that they were not of a certain scale and they were not in the strategic clusters which we wanted to focus on. This meant that we actually shut down 20 stores. And if you look at it from a top line, it did have a top line impact of about 100 crores. But these stores were also loss-making. So you would have we would avoid on an annualized basis close to 18 crores of EBITDA loss. So it was a tough decision, but it was the right decision which we took. We also then looked at right-sizing the organization, looking at an operating structure which was to the scale that the business was, and we you know, right-sized the organization in phase one, which was both at the corporate office level as well as the store level. So I think these were some actions which we took, which obviously, if you look at the H1 results, does have an impact on the top line and the bottom line as far as H1 was concerned. So therefore, clearly for us, Q3 was a quarter where some of the actions which we had taken should have started playing out and resulting. And therefore, if you look at the Q3 results, the earnings which were shared yesterday, on a Q3 basis, I mean, quarter three, we reported a 2.5% growth on a year-on-year basis and a 14% growth on a quarter-on-quarter basis. Now, while this might not, this might seem modest, 2.4%, I think it has to be looked in the context of what the quarterly performance was in the last three quarters. It's still too early to call it a turnaround, but it is clearly, I would say, a phase where we are shifting momentum and we are, you know, turning around from experiencing degrowth to getting even modest growth of 2.4%. If you look at, you know, obviously this is both on Spencer's and Nature's Basket. Nature's Basket has delivered a stronger growth, higher growth, 10% growth on a year-on-year basis. Margins are strong on Nature's Basket, 29.6%, which is an improvement. And therefore, Nature's Basket has also contributed to this overall 2.4% growth, which is there. On Spencer's, on the Spencer standalone basis, like I said, the growth on year-on-year basis was 1.2%. But if you net it out for the store's closure, the like-for-like growth is almost 6%. So with the same set of stores, you know, excluding the stores closed, you know, there is good growth which is coming through. Obviously, this is a festive quarter, so we are not discounting the momentum which you get or the tailwind which you get because of festive. In that context, I think the performance was strong. As I also mentioned, it was not just the initiatives are not just focused on top line, but it's also looking at our costs, and we did you know, effect measures to control costs both at the store and the corporate office. You know, this resulted, if you can, I mean, some of you can pick up the numbers, you know, the benefits will start flowing, continue to start flowing in quarter four and quarter one, but in quarter three itself, there was close to a 9% reduction in operating expenses. And this is what has lifted the EBITDA for the quarter. The EBITDA for the quarter is a 250 basis point improvement on a year-on-year basis. And I think that should give confidence to all of us that we will be able to drive both the top line as well as the bottom line. So really, I mean, that's the crisp, short commentary on what quarter three was. I think going forward, you know, this, like I said, this reaffirms the belief and the confidence in the plan to drive top line and to control costs to really accelerate our path to profitability. The key priorities for the organization will therefore continue to remain how to grow the top line. And our top line drivers will be to really focus on the three geographies where we operate in a clustered manner. And these geographies are East, primarily West Bengal, Eastern UP, which is we have a good concentration of stores in Banaras, Lucknow, Gorakhpur, NCR. So that is the second cluster, and the third cluster is Hyderabad and Coastal Andhra, so Telangana and Coastal Andhra. So again, the plan would be to grow our top line focused on these stores. While we did, you know, close down, take the call on closing down stores, it does not mean that this is going to be a one-way street and we're only going to be looking at rationalizing stores. We will expand and we will open new stores, but we will do it in these key clusters. You know, in quarter four, we'll have about 25 square feet of trading area which will come online. And we expect for next year as well, we will have between Nature's Basket and Spencer's, we'll have 1 lakh square feet of trading area. So we will open new stores. We are also taking conscious calls, judiciously picking stores where we will refurbish some of the stores which are, you know, which is, we have stores which have been with us for 12 to 15 years. So we will refurbish stores as well in these areas to elevate the overall experience. So growing top line through focused expansion and focused execution in these clusters is one component. The second part of our top line expansion plan centers around our omnichannel business. you know, we have a we launched in September. We launched what we call the express delivery business model in Calcutta, and we have a pretty unique e-commerce model because we do our fulfillment from the stores which we have for a variety of reasons. It avoids us having to incur additional costs in terms of putting, you know, dark centers, fulfillment centers, etc., and it helps us to sweat our existing assets as far as the stores are concerned. It used to be a slotted delivery kind of a system where you pick your slots, but in Calcutta, in September, we launched an express delivery where the proposition was, you know, a wide assortment, 50,000 plus products delivered within 1 hour. So it was not the 15-minute delivery, but it was still within 1 hour, and we believe that that's a relevant proposition in grocery where you can give variety, but you can still deliver within 1 hour. And with our footprint of stores in Calcutta, we are able to service 99% of the pin codes from our existing network, which is there. This has met with good response. We have seen a good increase in the express orders and with good, ticket size. So this is again, given us confidence that this is a model which we will continue to expand. Our share of omni-channel today is 12%. And again, the plan is to keep pushing this up towards a number which will be 20% in the 12 to 18 month period. The second center point for growing top line is around driving this business. It's not just going to be in Calcutta. Based on the model of Calcutta, we're looking at a couple of other cities. Again, the key criteria for us is where we have the ability to deliver this proposition of covering the entire city from our existing footprint of stores. So there are, like I mentioned, we have, cities like Banaras and Lucknow where we have a good concentration, and we will be expanding this express delivery component in those two cities as well. The third part of our top line expansion would be obviously, continuously looking at our portfolio and our mix of categories. We are a multi-category retailer. So it's important to manage that portfolio very well. We will look at increasing the mix of our general merchandise, which is complementary to the food. We will continue to be a food first retailer. So food, which is everything from fresh to packaged food to staples, will be our driver. But we will also have a very complementary mix of general merchandise, which we all know helps us in terms of managing the whole margin mix. Our two big USPs in our portfolio, or I would say differentiators, are fresh, which is fish and meat specifically. It's something which is also a frequency builder, and we do liquor retailing in East. We will continue to build on these differentiators to have a healthy portfolio and a mix, which is not just from a margin point of view, which is internal, but also from a customer point of view, where we are offering products which are differentiated every day and then therefore drives stickiness and frequency. So those are three top, top line drivers. The other key part going forward is, this cost optimization, right sizing. This is not a one-off exercise. This is a continuous exercise to make sure that we operate in a very efficient and a lean manner. Like we said, we did phase one of the cost optimization exercise in quarter two of this year, which centered around 20 plus stores which we exited, plus some right sizing of the organization at the corporate level. We are continuing that in quarter four, and really the plan is from last year's level, we are looking at taking out close to 10 to 11% of our operating costs compared to last year, which is a significant one, but we are confident that we can identify the inefficiencies and areas where we can remove that. So really, cost would also remain a key focus. And I think driving top line and improvement of cost would have that impact on EBITDA, as we've seen a little bit of it in quarter three as well. The impact in quarter three of improving sales, keeping your margins same, led to a RGM increase of 5%. Your costs came down. And therefore, you saw that, delta impact as far as the EBITDA is concerned. So top line and cost will be the focus, and then looking at different, efficiencies, scaling up the share of our online and e-commerce business. So I think that's where we will continue focusing. If I were to give you some additional color on Nature's Basket, again, you know, starts with the fact that you know, we do have a very definite and defined right to win in this. It's a unique premium positioning, you know, proposition in retail. You know, sustaining good gross margins, 29.6% is what I've kind of called out. And this is around centered around you know, an experiential shopping environment, focusing on food, you know, fresh as assortment, fresh including everything from cheese to you know, vegetables, fruits, exotics, imported meat, charcuterie, a good bakery section. So a very, very relevant premium proposition. And the fact that it is positioned like that, it also operates in a very focused geography. So we are present in four cities, and again, you know, growing it in those four cities. So Nature's Basket would continue to be driven, keeping true to this proposition of being a kind of a gourmet retailer. We have, in this quarter, we've launched India's first luxury grocery retail format called the Artisanal Pantry. The first store was launched at the Palladium Mall in Bombay, you know, with a very high experiential zone, which has everything from, you know, a large selection of cheese, a great bakery section, you know, even a, you know, salt bar, a big mushroom collection, also having things like, you know, a cocoa and a chocolate center. So really, I mean, driving this experience is what Nature's Basket would be, while keeping our operating costs quite lean, and the fact that we are focused in focused geographies, four cities, helps us to do that. So Nature's Basket would also be a story which will be driven on staying true to the proposition, driving top line as well as keeping your costs in control. So that's really you know, how we want to drive this. If I were to summarize, I would say that look, quarter three, you know, like I mentioned early, you know, we've laid out some part of this strategy, and we see that coming through with top line growth as well as EBITDA improvement. The task on hand is to make sure that this is not one off, and we keep sustaining it, you know, both into quarter four and going forward for next year. But we are quite confident that, you know, this is a plan which will help us to drive the organization towards growth, you know, and EBITDA improvement as far as. So I'll stop at that, and we'll open it up for questions from the team.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Bharat Gupta from India Retail. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, it's Bharat Gupta from India Inside Value Fund. Thanks for taking up my question. So, sir, I have a couple of questions. First, in regard to the debt profile, so can you just share what is the current debt number? Because as such, whatever numbers which you have reported, so thing which points out to that, though we are not doing that meaningfully in operations, but we are stuck up and there is a lot of pile up of debt. I think in September numbers it was close to 650 odd crores. So what's our plan? Like in terms of scaling up also, we will be requiring good amount of debt, good amount of fundraise. So
sorry to interrupt, Bharat sir. Hello, Bharat sir. Sir, you are not audible. Can you please take your device closer to you?
Am I audible now?
So a little bit louder.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes, it's clear.
Yeah.
Okay.
So my question pertains to the debt profile. So sir, can you share what was the debt number with respect to December quarter, the gross debt number?
Yeah. So at the if you look at the debt position at the consolidated level, debt is at 785. Which includes 100 odd at Nature's Basket and at Spencer. And look, we are cognizant of this. You know, we are also looking at debt in relation to the equity. And we believe that we have, you know, at the right time, we will look at how we bring in more funds. But the group remains committed to the business. And I think our first task as a business is to improve the operations metrics, which, like I mentioned, is on the right step. And then I think the funds and managing that will be a natural outcome of the improvement which comes, and the group is committed to that.
But in terms of, even if we want to scale up and create new experience stores, so we will be requiring good amount of capex, and also our working capital is also stuck. So any timeline to which we are adhering right now, and with respect to any like spin-off or any like we want to sell off any particular segment, so we are we exploring any opportunity with regard to it?
Yeah, so as it comes to do we have sufficient working capital as well as making the investment in the stores, absolutely, this is part of the plan for the year. We will have working capital as well as like I said, it's about a judicious expansion. We're talking about 1 lakh square feet. So we are well capitalized, funded for that. When it comes to, stake sales and looking at this thing, I mean, these are, premature kind of, conjectures. And we will, at the right time, we'll keep evaluating and doing it, but nothing concrete at the moment.
Secondly, like in terms of like we have not been able to do successfully with respect to markets in southern states. So what kind of you can say lessons which we have learned from that, and how we want to scale up further? I know we want to confine majorly towards Eastern UP, Bengal, but any particular plans which we have with respect to scaling up within those segments also, and particularly, are you evaluating opportunities also further in respect to other markets?
Yeah, so I think the point is that it's, our ability, it's not that we were not successful. I think what we said is, given our size and given our, kind of our operating structure, it makes sense to operate in clusters with high penetration of stores. So just to give you an example, in Chennai, we had 9 stores, small stores, most of them were small stores. And therefore, to drive efficiencies, focus stuff, even to do a marketing campaign, it becomes very suboptimal if you don't have scale in that particular thing. So the reason was not that we were not able to drive things. I mean, I think that comes with a little bit of concentration as well. In the East, we have, like I said, in Calcutta, we have 42 stores. So the ability to service these stores efficiently from a supply chain perspective, to do a campaign which can be where you do a media campaign which is isolatable to that state, becomes far easier and more efficient. So I think that was the reason why we kind of took a call to focus on this. And secondly, we also believe that, within these clusters, there is still headroom for growth. So there is, there is no need to, have a token presence in 6 geographies and then kind of be inefficient in terms of servicing them. We believe that we can drive growth in existing 4 or 5 clusters, deepen the penetration of store counts in these clusters, and service them more efficiently from a supply chain perspective as well as from a whole communication perspective. Otherwise, the cost of servicing and the cost of communication at a multi-state level, at an all-India level, just escalates. So I think that was the decision, and therefore we will, first, deepen our penetration in these 3 clusters, and obviously, once we get to a certain level, we will evaluate if there is merit in expansion into more strategic clusters. But right now, I think we have enough of opportunity, enough of an existing footprint to expand in these 3 geographies, and that is what we will do.
Right, sir. Sir, what will be a market share in those regions, particularly where we are operating in the branded retail space?
There is no Nielsen equivalent in retail, so it'll be very difficult for me to give you a number. But we are in the East. We are a strong leader, that's clear. And again, the task is to ensure that we maintain this leadership. And which is why it goes back to what I was saying earlier is, it is about strengthening, deepening presence and consolidating your leadership. I mean, in areas where we operate in cities, we have clear, distinct leadership, which is why when I said, you know, right to win is in these three clusters, and that is where we want to focus. Yeah.
But sir, in terms like in terms of competitive intensity, I think with respect to other, there are different players all in together. Everyone is trying to capture and gain the market share across pan India basis. So, like, how we want to position ourselves and distinct ourselves with respect to other peers, and I believe so. Then comes the question on funding as such, because we are also combined with respect to the debt side. So, like, even when we want to scale up our operation side, so we would be requiring, like, we want to curtail down on the cost part as well as reduce the debt side. At the same time, we also want to have a growth ambition. So, like, how we want to match the two things and particularly grow out?
Yeah, I think we've already answered that question. So, again, just summarize, say that, look, we have, we are adequately, funded to, for the business, both from a working capital as well as the store expansion for next year. And with respect to competitive intensity, yes, this is a competitive thing, but also let's remember the context that modern trade in India today has 6-7% of the overall grocery. So it's about, not just a market share gain, but it's also about, gaining in overall the modern trade pie. As well as in e-commerce. So I think there are enough growth opportunities and we are well capitalized for the year to kind of, execute our plans, both from a working capital and a store expansion point.
Right. Sir, also with respect to Nature's Baskets, I think it's been more than 2 years now since we have bought it out from Godrej.
Sorry, I couldn't get you clearly. Could you be a bit louder?
Yeah, sure. I was just asking with respect to Nature's Basket. So it's been more than 2 years now since we started out with the operation. So particularly in your assessment, how long will it take to stabilize now? Because on the EBITDA front, though we have been profitable with respect to this quarter, but eventually if we want and be on the profitable side, so how do you see the assessment from your side? Like how much time will it take to stabilize on the operation side? And what kind of addition in with respect to stores are we looking at?
Yeah, so I think just to factually think, we acquired this in 2019, and by all measures, the operation has been quite stable. In fact, we are adding stores. Like I mentioned, we've added a new gourmet part of it called the Artisan Factory Pantry. We are growing, and I think if you look at again, I mentioned if you look at Nature's Basket, financial performance, almost 30% gross margin. So that's evidence of a more than stable operation. We've got 10% growth year on year, 13% quarter on quarter. So I think both of them do support the fact that, it is, the positioning is well defined, we're delivering on that and it is translating into financials. On your question on profitability, well, if you look at the numbers, 6 crore EBITDA in the quarter, and if you look at the, if you take out the non-cash part of it, it's a 1 crore loss, right? So I think this is something which is easily fixable with growth, and I think that's not. I think the primary driver here is to build the scale over here, and like I said, we will be adding stores in the focus geographies. That will help us with the margin profile it has. It will help us. 7% EBITDA on that quarter. That is something which will set us up well on scale to deliver a PBT.
So the margins of near about 29% on the gross side, so that will be on a sustainable basis in the segment.
Absolutely, absolutely. It's almost 29.6, right?
Right. Yeah. Right. But sir, in terms of the footfalls, so across the stores, like whether it is Nature Baskets or even in Spinsers, so the footfalls are just equivalent to the pre-COVID numbers, or we are still falls.
Can you join the queue for the follow-up question?
Sure. Thanks. I will join the queue.
Okay.
Thank you.
And the next question is from the line of Kunal from Fair Value Capital. Please go ahead, sir.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you, Kunal.
Okay. So my first question was about Spencer's Heater.
how are the D2C brand tie-ups progressing in there? And what was the quarterly run rate for the latest quarter? And can you also provide any guidance?
Sorry, your question was on
the D2C brand tie-ups.
Yeah, so look, we don't single out and say a driver for operational thing is not that I should have X percent growth of D2C. I think the way we look at it is D2C brands they should be fairly represented in our assortment because they are a signal of the fact that these kind of offerings are gaining traction with consumers. And if we want our overall proposition and format to be relevant to consumers, we need to make sure that we have the right assortment. Just because it's not a fad that, if it is D2C brands in a certain category, if there are 100 brands launched, we don't put a KPI saying I should have 50 out of those 100 brands. We will put the brands which are relevant with our consumers because ultimately our goal is not to build D2C brands. That is the job of the D2C brands. Our job is to build an assortment which is relevant to the consumers and the evolving consumer preferences. And if as and when D2C brands, evolve, they are an integral part of our assortment. So today we have, D2C brands like, Mama Earth is well represented. We have brands in coffee, in health and beauty. You look at brands like Sugar. You look at brands like Plum. We do have it, but we will not get swayed and have an over-representation. Every brand, and in fact, as part of efficiency, we need to keep a tight assortment, an assortment which is reflective of what the consumer preference is, but also has a certain velocity. And that's the way we will control it. Otherwise, just listing D2C brands or any other new brand, comes back to bite you from an efficiency point of view. So we are balancing that with as a particular brand in a particular category evolves, takes market share, we do give it representation. But we have been a launchpad for quite a few D2C brands. So I hope I've answered your question. We don't have a separate metric and we don't track the metrics as saying that in a particular category, X percent share should be given to D2C brands. It's a function of how the D2C brand does in the market. Yeah?
Yes, that was very helpful. Thank you. My next question was about the private labels. How is the growth traction you're seeing in there? And can you also provide some data about the margins? And what is your thought process behind scaling this segment?
Yeah. I think a very good question. So look, a private label is always, a retailer's, secret weapon to improve the mix. And for us, we have a good mix as far as the private label business is concerned. Of course, it varies across category. I would say in staples, we have a very good, private brand listing. And it comes at a margin which is normally accretive to the category margin. Our focus has been, our focus has been on staples. And we are looking, we have a presence in some of the other FMCG categories as well. But if I were to give you a blended mix, it's in the range of 11 to 12%, which I would say is quite healthy, right? And like I said, it comes at margins which are accretive to the category margins.
Understood, sir. That was also helpful. And the next question is about the Nature's Basket. How is the competitive intensity shaping up from the quick commerce players?
Yeah, so I think, Nature's Basket, like I said, has a very unique positioning. In fact, I don't want to sound arrogant, but we are probably the only gourmet premium grocery retailer in the country now. So it operates in a very different space. In the grocery sector, when it comes to Spencer's, we do compete with certain others, but I think Nature's Basket has no direct competition so far, given the positioning and where we are. And then your second part of the question, how does e-commerce or quick commerce? I think, look, given the nature and the positioning of Nature's Basket, it's a very high experiential-led format. So it is not that, people who want to go and experience and buy a different cheese, they will order on Big Basket or quick commerce. This is a very store experience-led format. And we believe that's what the strength is. Now, having said that, there will be plans to strengthen and build the online part of Nature's Basket as well. But in a typical consumer psyche, I would expect that the customer adoption and I would say loyalty will stem from visiting and experiencing the Nature's Basket store. And the online part of it will be of your convenience of follow-up purchases. So that's how that segment will operate. So I would not go as far as saying it is insulated from the intensity of quick commerce, but Nature's Basket, given its positioning and the assortment and the price points which it carries, so far does not have competition and in that space, direct competition, and is less impacted by quick commerce.
All right. So it will be right to say that you're also catering to a different customer set than what the general quick commerce
absolutely. Yeah. I think it's a different consumer need state which you cater to. I don't think we should say it's a different consumer, because the same consumer has different need states. You might want to buy premium gourmet stuff 2-3 times a month when you have a special occasion, you're making something. And on a top-up, you're buying your, atta dal chawal either on quick commerce or on visiting a grocery store. So, yeah, it's different need states which you kind of cater to. Nature's Basket is clearly positioned towards the premium gourmet grocery retail needs of a consumer in the large metros. So, large concentration in Bombay. Yeah. Another
sector. Right, sir. Thank you very much for a detailed answer.
Thank you.
Thank you. And the next question is from the line of Yash Bajaj from Lucky Investment Managers. Please go ahead, sir.
Good morning and thanks for the opportunity. Am I audible?
Yes, you are.
Okay. My question was around Nature's Basket. So just wanted to get a sense
I lost you. Your question was around what?
Nature's Basket.
Yeah.
I just wanted to understand the kind of parameters we look at before opening a Nature's Basket store when it comes in terms of locality, the customer profile, or any other retailing stores which are around.
Well, I think, it's besides the standard parameters which you look at in grocery retail, obviously the one which is most important is, I would say, the affluence of the catchment area, and obviously then looking at the affluence, and therefore the affluence determines the propensity to spend on categories which we keep. The single biggest criteria would be the affluence. Of course, we also look at density of population and where it is, those are the ones besides the standard. Location, accessibility, etc. But the differentiating factor is looking at the catchment area demographics more from an affluence and income point of view. Yeah.
And so just a follow up to this is that we when it comes to gourmet retailing, we compete with the standalone one or two mom and pop stores. That's how it is.
Sorry. You're saying that the competition for Nature's Basket from standalone? Yes, look, I think, don't take me literally when I said it has no competition. In India, there's competition for everything. What I'm saying is that there is organized on scale. There is no one retailer today who has a premium gourmet luxury retail kind of an offering. Yes, you do have in localities, you have your... established, Kirana stores who stock either a wide variety of imported goods, or you'll find, they will have a one good selection of exotic fruit. So you will have that. But I think on an organized branded level, we do have, the uniqueness and differentiation of being the one which is there. But yeah, in pockets, if you look at Bombay, South Bombay, I'm sure in every, locality like Nepean Sea Road, Worli, wherever you look, Kolaba, you will have those, Kirana stores which will have a good assortment of imported, somebody will have a good assortment of exotic fruits which they get. But yeah, not on a standardized, organized way at the branded chain. We are right now the only one. Yeah.
Got it. And just my last question is, so, Nature's Basket caters to the luxury segment of groceries. So if I look at the other categories where it comes to consumption, look at premium cars or watches or apparel, they are the kind of growth rates we are seeing there is relatively higher versus the Nature's Basket growth rate. So how should we look at this? How should we reconcile this?
Well, look, I think, comparing luxury cars or let's say any other thing with premium grocery you might not get a like-to-like index. You would buy a luxury car once in 3 years. But if you go and buy grocery, you buy grocery, probably 3 to 4 times a month. So it's not comparable, but one has to look at it more from a point of view of is there a sizable market and is there a growing category of people who are willing to either try, premium price products, pay for it. I think that's how you will have to look at it. So it's not a like for like. If luxury cars grew 1 year by 20% and Nature's Basket grew by 10%, I don't know whether we can draw a conclusion that it is underperforming for the position. I think the fact is growth in both are an indicator that the Indian consumer has, greater, not just, liquidity and consumption power, but is also going out and putting their money where their mouth is in terms of spending. So I think that's the way I would look at it. I would not draw comparisons between different luxury categories. That's the way I would look at it. But yeah, both should move in the same direction. Yeah, so okay. Double-digit growth in Nature's Basket is something which is, corroborates the point that overall in that premium luxury space, there is growth.
Okay. God, that's all from my side. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. And the next question is from the line of Nisarg Vakharia from NV Alpha Fund Management LLP. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, good morning, everyone. You have entailed in your presentation that the benefits of the restructuring and cost-cutting exercise will be visible from quarter one. My question is that you obviously have an MIS report of understanding which stores are unprofitable, like you have shut down the South India stores. Will you stop burning cash by quarter one FY from next year of quarter one with the restructuring exercise that you have done? Because I think you've burned 40, 45 crores of cash even in this quarter.
Yes, so look, that's the ultimate goal. I can't give a forward-looking absolute guidance, but both the right-sizing and focusing on the stores is with the effort of making sure that all stores and as a network, our stores are all store EBITDA positive. Yeah.
No, sir, which year you will stop burning cash? Because last 3 years, I think 600 crores of debt has been piled on because of cash burn. So as investors, it's very important and pertinent for us to understand that when will you stop burning cash indicatively.
Yes, so I think that is exactly what we are doing in terms of exiting certain things. If you want a specific thing, obviously the time frame which the management has taken is an 18 to 24 month thing where we will...
Okay. Second, sir, the most successful retailer DMart makes 8% margin because they own most of the properties. Now we are essentially in high-end malls where the rental costs are much higher as compared to likes of a DMart. So, in your opinion, what should be the steady-state EBITDA margin in our business in retail whenever the business turns around? What is your endeavor or what is your goal?
I think we'll take it one step at a time. I think the first endeavor is to break even then to look at what it is. So I think, anywhere from once we break even I've kind of given you a kind of a time frame which we are looking at doing that. I think you know, anywhere from 6 to 8% is where we should be targeting. But right now, I think that's looking too much ahead. For us, the immediate priority is to break even.
Okay. Thank you so much, and all the very best.
Thank you.
Thank you. And the next question is from the line of Akhil Parikh from Batliwala and Karani Securities India Private Limited. Please go ahead, sir.
Thanks for the opportunity. My first question is, how do we balance the game between, say, wider, keeping wider assortment versus being efficient in terms of inventory management? If I look at, say, a global player like Costco, or in India, if you look at DMart, right, they don't leave enough choices for the customer in terms of the assortment. And that's why the sales throughput of the asset turns are very high. While I understand our value proposition is different as compared to, say, DMart or other value retailers, so how do we find balance between these two things, basically, you know, where we keep fewer assortments, I mean, relatively okay assortments, and at the same time be efficient in terms of inventory management?
Yeah, I think it's a very good question, and I think that is one of the secret sauces, if I would say, to manage retail thing. The way it is done is it's a bit of a science and a bit of an art. I think, you know, the art part of it is you look at what your proposition and positioning is, and therefore you need to give a minimal credible assortment. So if you are if your proposition is on value, then you have to have a assortment which is giving deep value, and therefore you know you're not really you know, from a consumer point of view, you're not really projecting a width of assortment. You're giving value in whatever you're giving in the assortment. If our proposition is about, you know, you're giving multiple options or a range, then I think you optically, you are, and you know, you have to give a certain level. Your minimal credible assortment would be slightly wider. That's the thing. The science part of it is that, look, even if in you're giving a certain assortment based on your positioning, you have to constantly do what is called range effectiveness. So you have to, you know, the merchant's job is to figure out that, you know, what part of the range is faster moving and where the velocity is higher, and then kind of constantly keep trimming the tail. There is always a tail in the assortment. Even the most efficient retailer in the world will have a tail. I think the trick is how quickly you respond and you prune the tail, and you work on over a period of time on an assortment which is quick moving. So yeah, I mean that's the key part of it, and given our positioning of a wide assortment, it makes that even more challenging, and that is where, you know, efficiencies have to be there. If we do that well, that translates into lower days on hand and therefore higher inventory turns, and that's the operating metrics which, I'll be honest, we have not been very sharp at in the last few years, and that is what we will drive going forward in terms of looking at how are we forecasting, how are we building the assortment, and more importantly, how we are reacting every 30 days to do a range effectiveness and take corrective action. So it's a very good point. I mean, that is one of the single biggest, I would say, levers of operational efficiencies in terms of what you're buying, what is selling, and therefore what you're buying next, and how are you kind of, you know, making sure that you're tight.
Sure. So, are we already taking some of the steps? Do we have a technology stack in place which should be able to kind of help us in finding the inventory?
Yeah. So, look, you know, this is, like I said, this is you know, we are working right now on what is a predictive model. So you kind of feed in what your sales has been, and therefore what your buy plan for next month has to have that. At some point of time, yes, you're right, with the kind of, you know, machine learning and, you know, analytics tools which are there, we can build that. But to be honest, right now, we don't have a, we're not running any AI or, you know, machine program which kind of tells you exactly what you should be buying. What we do is we do an analysis of what we have sold, and then we look into the buy, and then we keep doing that. So we call it the S&OP plan, and we kind of, you know, measure what the sell-through was from the previous month and the previous months, and we look at trends, and then we therefore factor the buy plan for the next month. So right now, it does not have all of that high-tech AI machine learning built into it, but definitely that's an area which we will keep looking into, and how do we sharpen our analytics around supply chain planning.
Sure. Thanks. This is helpful. Second, on the sales per square foot, right? I mean, given that our store addition will be relatively on a restrictive side or a limited this thing, so obviously I am assuming that our endeavor would be to increase the sales throughput. If I look at our sales per square foot, it's roughly at around 17,000 to 18,000 square feet. And pardon me for comparing with DMart, which may not necessarily be a right comparison, but they are almost at 2x of what we do. So any specific measures we are taking in terms of improving the sales per square foot, mainly on the Spencer side?
Yeah, so I think, on Spencer, definitely, if you look at our SPSF sales per square foot, it's not, forget about comparison with DMart, it is not what it also used to be 2-3 years ago. And I think the endeavor to, or the decision to exit some of these stores or regions was because they were like far lower and they were the drag on the SPSF as well. Today, while we don't call out numbers on SPSF, but I'll take the liberty of maybe saying, look, we are in excess of 1,250 SPSF per month. The clear, operational driver is what I say, how do we drive more from the same? So therefore, how do we take that number closer to 1,550 per square foot per month, which is what we used to do in the past. So, I think should tell you that we are looking at that as a serious operating measure and we will drive that. We have seen that in quarter three, we have been able to deliver close to that and lift that up. And we'll keep sustaining that and taking that. We don't want to be bound by that 1,500 level, but we need to consistently deliver that. And therefore, it goes back to that. It's not about, adding on stores and increasing your trading area. It is also driving the ability to get higher productivity and higher SPSF from the same stores. And that's what we are focusing on. And we will improve that metric.
Sure. Just to clarify, the decline in sales per square feet which we had from past was largely because of the increase in denominator, that is the square feet increase, basically, right? Not because of the change in the product. Is that correct?
Not really. I mean, it was also the top line was had not grown, so it was a combination of that.
So thanks a lot, and wishing you best luck for coming quarters.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. And the next question is from the line of Rakshit Sethi from Fair Value Capital. Please go ahead, sir.
Good morning, gentlemen. Start off with, I want to thank you guys for having this analyst call. This is a pleasant change, and I hope this will be a regular feature. And we'll get to interact with you all on a quarterly basis going forward. Having said that, to follow up on the last analyst's comments, you were very right in pointing out that the assortments in the store depends on what the value proposition is. And so my first question would be with regards to Spencer Retail. We've been watching the company for the last 5-6 years. Where do we want to position Spencer's Retail? And I ask this because there have been a number of experiments. So in terms of the size of the format, we've lately seen a couple of Spencer Kiranas having popped up as well. There used to be a Nature's Basket that was converted into a Spencer's Kirana. So going forward, when we are looking at adding, say, 1 million square feet a year, where in terms of format and in terms of positioning value proposition, where are we focusing on and what is the thought process that the management has behind that?
Yeah. Thank you for that question. And I think, your question is very specific to what is the positioning value proposition for Spencer's. So which tells me that there's no ambiguity on where the positioning and value proposition of Nature's Basket is, which is well.
I'll come to Nature's Basket subsequently because we'll come to that later. Yeah. But yeah, first.
Look, I think on Spencer's has what we are clear is we should also be clear on what we are not, and then we are clear on what we are. I think what we are not going to be a value discount retailer for a variety of reasons, and I will not dwell on that. But, you know, in the past, we, you know, I'd be honest, I mean, you know, you succumb to competitive, you know, not competitive, but you succumb to where the whole sector is going in terms of, you know, trying to follow that and not playing off your strengths. So our strengths will not be able to, will not be that we will be able to drive a certain level of scale with, you know, deep discount or value. Where our inherent business model DNA and our strength is to be, to offer the right assortment. When I say right, it is, it's an assortment which has choices, relevant as well as width. Give a great shopping experience in store. So, you know, that's something which, you know, you speak to consumers. Yes, they get value in a certain store, but the whole shopping experience is very different in our stores. And you know, there are, you know, like I said, different consumers and the same consumer sometimes. Sometimes they're looking at value, sometimes they're looking at the whole shopping experience. So our proposition is very clearly on giving a wider assortment, more choices actually. I would not say wider assortment, more choices in categories. So it's not just, you know, staples. Like I said, a differentiator in our assortment in the East are things like liquor, fish and meat. So you give the complete household grocery assortment and more choices within that. It's the experience. You have the right complementary non-food mix. So again, some correction there, what we need to do. And that's the positioning for Spencer's in the relevant areas.
So then how would you explain entry into, say, Spencer's Kirana, and how would that translate into store sizes? What typically going forward would be the store size formats that you'd be adding on?
So, your second part of your question is, look, how the what is the Spencer's Kirana, Spencer's Hypermarket? So today in our format, we have, let's say, two broad levels. We have the smaller stores, which are, you know, anywhere from 2,000 to 6,000 square feet. And then you have the hypers, which are anywhere from 10,000 going up to, you know, as big as 20,000. You know, our experience and the performance has shown, depending on region, that we need to have a good mix of both. So we are not veering towards one and saying we'll only have hypers, we'll have a thing. The shopping mission is very different in a Kirana and in a hyper. A hyper size, the fact that it's located in maybe high street mall, not high street but a mall, is more of a destination shopping experience, whereas a Kirana becomes more of a regular, convenient, top-up kind of a grocery model. So, like I said, depending on the city we are in, we would like to have a good mix of a few large hyper formats, which give the complete experience of what Spencer's is, the complete assortment, the width of assortment, the shopping thing. And then that's complemented by, in the same city, you have, you know, you have a network of small stores, which are meant for your convenient top-up shopping trips over there. So just to take an example, and again, I would not just say Calcutta. Even if you take a city like Siliguri, right, which is in North Bengal, we have five stores, and we have two large stores, which give the completest thing, and then we have stores which are 5,000 square feet, and we have a store which is 3,000 square feet. So I think it's a mix of both of them. Going forward, yes, I mean, we also have to see the cost involved, the rising, you know, rental cost, high street location. We would, if you're deepening our presence in a city, we would look at sizes which are more, you know, I would say the sweet spot would be 8,000 square feet. But if you're entering a new city, which actually we are not going to do in the next 12 months, if you were to enter a new city to establish the whole Spencer's experience and proposition, you would need to have a combination of a large store as well. So, yeah, I mean, the strategy for me is it's not an or, it's an and. We need to have both, but we need to be very clear of, you know, going forward, in depending on the city, are we going to add more large stores? Are we going to do more 8-10? I think in existing cities where we already have a footprint, we will see a lot more of the 8 to 10,000 square feet kind of stores, which can give the complete
food assortment. That's very reassuring to hear, because as someone who's based out of New Delhi, you know, when, say, in East, the brand is established, it stands for experiential retail. If you're already established as a brand and then you launch a smaller plate size store, then it transcends, right? The eventual customer appreciates what's happening. When you enter Delhi and you start up with a Spencer's Kirana, Delhiites aren't experienced to what a Spencer hypermarket is like. So it dilutes the whole brand of Spencer's for an entire market like Delhi. And that was a big concern, but I'm glad that that clarity is there. You know, that can have a negative impact when you enter a new city and you don't enter with the actual thing that you stand for.
Yeah. So you're right. I mean, if you have to establish the brand experience through, you know, through a representative format, and when you want to penetrate deeper in that city, then you have to have the small stores. You can't launch in a new city, that's what I said, with a small format, which does not, you know, establish the whole experience. So, yeah, that's what we've learned.
I'm very surprised to see that, Spencer's Kirana. Now, coming to Nature's Basket, again, you know, we had been giving this feedback to the earlier CEO. It's good to see that it appears that you are now also trying to look at the space that has completely been vacated by Food Hall. Earlier, if I would, you know, give or take, our store formats were similar to, say, a Modern Bazaar or a Le Marche. So my question would be that going forward, how many, what is the addition, store additions that you are going to be looking at? And in terms of, again, plate size, are we going to be looking at more food hall, like large format with the artisan pantry, or smaller plates?
Yeah, so look, like you said, Nature's Basket would be looking at somewhere between 40 to 50,000 square feet additional coming in next year. It will be focused in the cities where we are what I call the mega metros. So Bombay, where we have a good density. You know, looking at, we've just opened in this quarter, we've opened one more store in Calcutta. So it'll be Bombay, Bangalore, which will be the focus. From a plate size or from a, you know, what is the format, you know, we've launched artisanal pantry in Bombay. We've launched one more. So it will be a combination of the artisanal pantry, which I would say would become a flagship in a city, plus, you know, the regular Nature's Basket. So it will be a combination of both, but we are not looking at new cities. No further expansion in new cities at the moment. We believe there is enough headroom in these existing cities to plonk a few more stores.
And especially given the fact that Food Hall is completely packed up, I mean, that's a clear runway, right? That there is no one who's there taking that space at all completely right now. Again, I know someone asked this earlier. I'm going to take a chance and ask again. For both formats, first for Nature's Basket, by when do we see PBT, like throwing out cash? And Spencer's, you said 18 to 24 months. Are we going to stick to that for cash burn ending?
So look, again, you know, don't want to give a specific timeline, but look, I said that is the clear task on hand for the management. You know, we've already started the journey in some small measures. One quarter is showing a path. The path to profitability will be shorter and quicker for Nature's Basket, and then not too distant for Spencer. So, yeah, I mean, operating in the same time frame of, you know, 18 to 24 months at a consolidated level, we should be, you know, kind of on track to do that. Of course, it's not going to be easy, but that's what we've all signed up for, and that's what we are, you know, charging up the teams and committing to deliver. No? But, yeah, I mean, Nature's Basket would be sooner than what Spencer's would.
Great, and I hope, like I started the call with, we'll have these interactions more regularly going forward.
Oh, no, absolutely. I mean, I think it is my first one, but I can reassure you this will not be the last, and we will do it at a more periodic basis and a more regular basis.
Thank you very much. That will be all from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. And the next question is from the line of Tushar Sarda from Athena Investments. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for the opportunity. There have been a lot of questions on, you know, you're reaching profitability. I wanted to know what is rent as percentage of your sales in Spencer's and in Nature's Basket separately?
Look, I think we don't call out that number, but I mean, you can gauge it from the operating spend, but rent as a thing is more ballpark in the region of 5 to 6%.
So to reach profitability, your gross margin in Spencer's will have to increase from 15%, which you're reporting now. What do you think it will need to go to?
Well, actually, I would like to correct. Spencer's margins are 19%. So, I mean, it's not 15%.
I deducted from the reported numbers, I deducted Nature's Basket, and then I arrived at 15%. From the console numbers. So Nature's Basket seems to be 29 and Spencer seems to be 15. Is that not right?
No, so I think for the December quarter, Spencer's at 18.9% to be precise, which is a slight improvement from December of last year, which was at 18.8%. So we will strive to keep that as the level, and Nature's Basket is at 29.6%.
Okay, so that's 18.9 is gross, right?
Yes.
It's for the console, right? Not for the Spencer standard.
No, that's for Spencer's. You were saying 15% for Spencer's, and I said, no, it's 18.9%
okay.
Okay,
my mistake.
29.6% for Nature's Basket, and at a consolidated level, the margins are 20.3%.
Okay. And my second question was on, how scalable is Nature's Basket business? If you take a longer term view, say 5-year kind of a view, what do you see the opportunity as?
Yeah, so look, there is, like I said, the exact numbers, we're in the, cycle of a 3-year AOP, which we'll put together. But somebody else had asked the question and they were saying that the growth in luxury segment is much higher. There is headroom for growth. The previous person asked the question of saying that, now with food hall listing, you have a clear runway. I think these are all kind of indicators that there is headroom to growth. We've got the operating model on Nature's Basket, with the margins, and we therefore will be committed to scaling it up. And there is enough opportunity to scale it up.
So you have 33 stores now. In 5 years, what can this? I mean, in terms of opportunity in the market, what is the size that is possible? I just want a rough idea of the market size. Like when you talk to a pizza guy, he'll say 2,000 stores, 3,000 stores. So here, what do you think? You can go to 100 stores, 200 stores.
In five, six years' time. No, I think it's a forward-looking one. I would say, if you look at the trajectory of growth as far as the economy is concerned, premiumization, which is happening, to say that, in 5 years from now, can the market take 150 of these format stores? Absolutely. So I would more answer from a category size. The market in 5 years could be 151. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
I'm asking for category size, and you are the only player. So, dominate the category. So, from that point of
view. I'm saying from a category point of view, this is a category where, it is only going to get bigger as the income expands in urban cities, in large metros. And it's not just large metros. In 5 years from now, I mean, you could see the same thing in other large cities as well, whether it be a Pune or it be an Ahmedabad. There is, I think the whole category will grow. It's a function of how we tap into that and how we scale up. But in 5 years from now in India, for a format which is premium gourmet retailer, to have 200 stores, absolutely, you know, kind of, it doesn't sound like a wild number.
Okay. And currently, what do you think is the size possible in a city like Bombay or Delhi for this format? I'm again asking for category, not necessarily for you, but how many stores as of now Bombay or Delhi can take of this format?
Yeah, look, again, you know, like I said, Bombay, we have close to, we have 22 stores, right? Now, you know, a city like Bombay, for a format like this, could easily probably, you know, take, I would say, 30, 35 stores. Besides Bombay, we also have cities like Bangalore, which is, you know, again, a very big concentration of consumers who will resonate with this proposition, very well spread out. We have 8 stores there. As a category, I mean, Bangalore could also take, I would say, 15, 16 stores. So, yeah, there is, again, it all keeps going back to the fact that I'd say that, look, there is headroom, and there is, this category will only grow. And that is going to be influenced by not just rising incomes, but more affluent lifestyle, people, the propensity for people to consume, you know, and, you know, to kind of, you know, experiment with a lot of, you know, international cuisines. So I think, yeah, there is headroom for growth over here. Each of these cities can take stores.
So, which means you are under-penetrated currently, right? I mean, if you're saying Bombay itself has so much potential, so if you consider cities like Delhi and Calcutta and, you know, Chennai, Hyderabad, the potential is a lot more even currently.
Well, I mean, if you're saying that we have 22 stores in Mumbai, so again, I don't know where, you know, where you're trying to pin me, but it's 22 stores. You said, what is the outlook? I said, you know, Bombay could take 30. Now, 22 out of 30 is not really underpenetrated. I think the point is, are there more cities like Bombay?
No, underpenetrated in the sense you are not there in Delhi, for example, or Hyderabad or Chennai.
Yeah.
So from that point of view, what I wanted to say is, can you grow much faster in Nature's Basket?
I think it's, again, no, it's, can we grow, I mean, you started with what is the size of the category in 5 years, and I said, we can look at, you know, as a category, we can look at 200. You know, in terms of cities, one specific city, which I said, you know, you talked about is Bombay. So I gave you a number. You know, similarly, Bangalore, yes, has a potential. Delhi, of course, has a potential. You know, but it's a question of how much we want to resource and build. I think we are saying that we want to first do it in Bombay and Bangalore, and then, of course, yes, we will then expand it to other cities as well. We'll evaluate it. So
okay.
At the moment, yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Batliwala and Karani Securities India Private Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.
Thank you so much for thank you very much for all the questions and the participants, and hope to connect with you on an ongoing basis.